wake up and you're feeling pretty good, and you come in here, and you know, I've been here for a couple hours, and I just want to rip somebody's head off and punch them in the face. You know, oh my God.
One of those days.
One of those days.
That's not good.
Well, and nothing to do with the customers. Customers all been really cool. Just all my own personal little frustrations, you know. I don't care what job you have and how good it is. There's going to be days where you just literally want to just punch something.
Yeah.
But that's just life. So get over it. Go on. We're back at Luigi's this coming week. We have a couple seats left for Tuesday night. We're only doing Tuesday this month, scheduling conflicts, but after that, and you're welcome to go click on the seminar icons, because that's where you're going to find out what's going on.
So there you go.
All right, what's going on in Peace River, Mr. Talkative? You didn't say anything on the radio show this morning that I heard.
I got two overpowering people, so it's just easier just to sit back.
I was going to say, yeah, you...
I spoke my piece the first 15 minutes.
What was your piece?
The whole shark bite episode. I made it clear what really happened. So there's no more rumors and garbage.
Okay, what... explain... Now, you're talking vague. What if nobody knows what's going on? You're assuming everybody out there listening in Canada, England, and all the states across the country, that they know what the hell you're talking about.
No, I forget that you and I are just not having a normal conversation. That's the problem. One of our captains was fishing with a couple of his customers, and the customer lost his balance while fighting a fish, went overboard, and got his calf bit by a pretty good-sized bull shark. But the really, really cool part is it didn't remove anything. I mean, it was literally a clean puncture wound bite.
He just
bit and let go.
Well, from near as I can figure it out, to me what seems like happened out there is you're fighting a tarpon, and there's always waves and boat wakes. And if you're not paying attention, and you're standing in front of a boat or even in a chair, and you've got 150 plus pound fish on the end of the line, and it's pulling and you're pulling back, and all of a sudden you get a wave, and just as you're going forward, the wave hits the boat, and you kind of compensate, the fish pulls, and next thing you know, you're in the water. And I think he landed on the shark. My best guess is when he fell overboard, the shark was kind of cruising right there. He hit the shark, and the shark just went, get away! Bit him because he thought he was being attacked.
Right.
That would be the most likely suspect, because for a shark to hit a human is so rare. It's just, you know, they don't like the way we taste or smell or anything else.
Exactly.
You know? So if he was going to attack the person, he could have easily just taken the guy's calf off or whatever he wanted. It would have been a big, disastrous bite. But when you have that snap like that, that was, get away. That was,
right.
I'm afraid. He was literally probably landed on the shark. You're talking, it's like 1 in 12 million chance you have of getting shark bit. And then probably a 1 in 50 million chance of landing on a shark.
Right.
But I've seen people bit and they literally like fell off a dock and got bit in that same manner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because they landed on the shark.
Yeah, and I could absolutely see that. You know, but you know, the guy was amazing. They interviewed him on the news and he was super positive, didn't blame the shark at all. You know, wants to hire the captain again to go out and have a good time. You know, he was really, really good, positive, and optimistic, so.
Yeah, but what a great story.
Absolutely.
I don't care who you are. If you can go out, land a tarpon, and then on the next one, get pulled in the water, get bit by a shark, get back in the boat, and have all that as a story. I mean, a lot of people have caught tarpon, but how many people have fell off the boat fighting a tarpon, got bit by a shark, and actually had landed tarpon?
Right.
This is like the ultimate story.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody else is going to be sitting around, oh, yeah, well, I was out and I caught this fish. Well, yeah, that's cool, but I caught a tarpon, got pulled off the boat, got bit by a shark, went back and did it again.
Right.
He's exactly. Like the ultimate badass.
Exactly. So it was just one of those, wanted to clarify all that this morning.
Well, the reason why we're trying to clarify it is the nightly news came out with the headline, man has fish. Leg bitten off Fisherman. By shark. Fisherman has leg bitten off by shark.
Yeah.
If you believe anything you hear on the news, you're foolish.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of a very bizarre headline.
Yeah. I mean, why would they do that? It's like, you know,
because they didn't have all their ducks in a row and they were listening to somebody else telling the story. That's why I had to go on there and say it, because I talked to the captain directly, got his permission to tell the story.
I talked to the nurse who was at the ER when he came in.
Right.
Which was, you were telling me about it. I'm going, yeah, I just talked to the nurse.
Yeah.
She was in here with another captain and buying stuff. And super nice girl, smoking hot, just nice as she can be, pretty as she can be, and was out catching all these tarpon. But she happened to be on duty when the guy came in.
Yeah.
So it was really weird. I mean, because, and then we see these headlines and, you know, tune in tonight at 10 so that you can hear how this guy died in a shark attack, really.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What just happened to the days when people would fact check?
So, I don't know.
All right. Anyway, enough about that. But that was kind of cool. And now, I got to tell you, boys and girls, if you're thinking about it, you know, sometimes the worst trips you have are the ones with the best stories.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, to be able to go out and go shark fishing, have that, I mean, there's probably been, there's tens of thousands of people do tarpon trips, and that, one out of that may fall off a boat, and one in 20 million might get bit by a shark.
Right.
It's like the ultimate story.
Oh, absolutely.
Too cool. Mm. All right, so any ultimate too cool stories up on the Peace River?
Not really. Not that cool. Yeah, pretty tough to beat that one. It's like Stairway to Heaven for your first song. Just not going to happen.
Yeah. It's like,
tough to talk.
Like I say, I don't care what bar he is, anywhere in the world, he's pretty much, okay, you're buying drinks. You my story's the best.
Exactly. Now, the Peace River's still got a lot of juvenile tarpon on it, especially working their way up towards Shell Creek. Bigger snook and some little bit better sized tarpon, like 50 to 60 pounders from the power lines going up into the upper Peace River, up way past the Navigator. So, and then there's also been a lot of gar as bycatch while the guys are throwing some of their swim baits or catfish tails that they're trying up there. And fairly good sized gar, you know, 3 footers, 3.5 footers.
I've seen guys with 4 footers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just fun. Just pretty cool. Okay. Underrated fish. Dopey, but underrated fish.
Yeah. No, I'll agree with that. Oh, goodness. I needed this.
Cooperating as usual?
Oh, it's just me. Everything's kind of going wrong. My iPhone almost hit the floor and the wall today.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just about chunked it.
That's not good.
Well, I kept thinking $400, $400, enraged, $400, $400. It was one of the few times my, you know, your emotions can run a little high on some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I was lucky enough where my greed cheap, you know, but the old game kicked into me. I'm not paying that. If this was, you know, 15 years ago, I would have smashed that sucker, you know, not cared about the cost.
Right.
But now I'm getting cheap. So
nothing wrong with that.
It makes me look like a calmer person because I'm too cheap to smash my phones. So, yeah. I mean, I got a stack of them here. Still got one to find. So, anyway, what the heck? Oh, yeah, we're at
I-75. I-75's still got some decent black drum on it. Still some scattered whiting around that and the islands adjacent to 75. And then they're still catching a lot of juvenile tarpon and some snook there in the early mornings and in the late evenings just before sunset. Been doing pretty fair on them consistently. You know, all throwing little artificials, rattle traps, twitch sticks, Rapala in the 8s. It's been selling quite a few of those in the 8 series in the X wraps. And then there's been a couple guys throwing topwaters up there and having a good time with some of those little snook and tarpon, catching them on the tiny torpedoes and regular spooks. So it's been kind of a mixed gamut up there. Guys said that there's been a lot of small little fry moving around there in the evening. He said every night on his dock, I guess he's somewhere real close to 75, because he's like, as soon as I see the fry popping up, I go over to the bridge and start messing around.
Okay, 41.
41's got a lot of snook and tarpon throughout the evenings, all the way through until the morning time. And then the daytime, they've been getting a couple of cobia, some whiting, even been a few stragglers, Spanish mackerel around there, a couple of trout, some smaller black drum to bigger black drum. And that's pretty much it. I mean, it's actually been a fairly good several days over there at the bridge. I'm getting quite a mixed variety of stuff.
And by the way, send us pictures. We'll put them up on the fishing report. And then they'll go the fishing history pages for each of those. They'll be up for like 2 months. You know, and then when I change them over, they'll all go into the fishing history of that spot. So they'll be there as long as the website's up. So
there you go.
But I'm going to be taking them, put your name on the picture, doing it. So frankheadfishandfranks.com or, let's see, I forget the phone number, 941-268-6460. You can text them, message me the pictures that way, or email them, whatever you want to do. Let's see, Lashley Pier.
Lashley's been getting a few snook in the evenings. The daytime bite's been a little bit better on some mangrove snapper. There's been a couple straggler sheep's head left over there, a couple of oddball trout, 2 Spanish mackerel that I've heard of, 1 cobia, and 1 small black tip shark that a gentleman caught, and several gar, which is kind of interesting for this time of year. Usually you don't hear about gar until July over there. But if I remember right, I think last year we had gar there most of the year too, which is a little unusual.
I don't know if they're building up a salt tolerance.
Right.
And that, believe it or not, boys and girls, it can actually happen, because when you get fish that have a higher tolerance to salt, just amongst a species, and they're down there, and then they have babies and survive it, and they kind of get weeded out, but it can genetically happen very quickly among some species to become more fresh and or salt tolerant.
Right.
Because of the offspring, as every year when they have babies, and more of them have that genetic code that, okay, I'm a little more salt tolerant, because there really hasn't been a lot of water coming down the river.
No, there hasn't. You know, and they are a very prehistoric animal. They've survived millions of years
unchanged. Fishandfranks.com, weather and tides. Go down, hit the Arcadia Peace River button, and the water flow right now is at 237. We're at 1.9 feet. We were at 1.75. There's actually no reason for those gar to be there at the 41 bridge.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Yeah, there's literally nothing I can think of. They should be way upriver.
They should be.
And the only thing that I can think of is a switch in genetic tolerances.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that makes any sense. So we're seeing the evolution of a species here. Bayshore Pier.
Bayshore Pier's had a couple of small sharks caught off of it this week. And one guy jumped a tarpon off of there. Other than that, I haven't heard of any other fish to speak of.
Well, Bayshore is back, baby.
Yeah.
It's always been the big fish pier.
Right.
But, you know, So, anyway, let's see. We got Port Charlotte Canals.
They're doing fairly well. The lot of small snook and even some larger snook, especially at the mouths of some of the canals. Juvenile tarpon are scattered all over the place. And then the mangrove snapper bite's been picking up just a little bit, depending on which canal system you're in. I've heard of some big jacks over there at the by the Spring Lake boat ramp, and also way up in the the Countryman waterway that goes way back there off of Collingswood. Been some pretty decent sized jacks back in there with some topwater bite, and then they've also been catching some of the Mayan cichlids back in there too.
Spell Mayan.
M-A-Y-A-N.
Okay, that's going to take us to the Elgabine Pier.
Some snook and tarpon at night. And then during the daytime in the early mornings, there's been a lot of juvenile to sub-adult tarpon around both bridges. And then some jacks. The trout bite slowed down just a hair. And I've heard of a few stragglers, same with a few straggler sheep's head. A couple of mangrove snapper. Some smaller black drum, like in the 15 to 25 pound range. And there's been several small sharks been caught off of there also. You know, and then I've had a couple guys fishing right there around the bridge and just on the harbor side of the bridge catching a few cobia. And they said they were super close to the bridge, so that's why I'm including it with that one rather than in the other part of the river. So, not a bad thing at all.
All right. And into the river one, I guess we throw in cobia there.
Well, especially down closer towards the mouth, down by the markers, but not at the markers. A guy was saying that he was drifting around there because there's been a lot of schools of small bait fish, and he's just been looking for the bait fish popping up and then drifting his either ladyfish or big frozen sardines and just drifting them through there because he's been picking up a few small black tips and the cobia that way. He got one cobia that was about 30 pounds. And then he also picked up one triple tail that ate a sardine. He said it was about 8 pound triple tail. I'm like, that's pretty impressive. He's also been seeing some Spanish mackerel, but he hasn't been hooking into any of those at all, but he's seeing them skip every now and then through the bait fish.
Okay, South Gulf Cove Canals.
A lot of bass fishing back in there. I've had several customers in here buying shiners to go back in there to fish. And then along the main, what I would call the main lake, I guess, heading out towards the main canal, there's been some snook, a couple of juvenile tarpon, and a few jacks. Ever since we did that talk, I'm getting a few more consistent reports now from customers, which is good. It was a pretty awesome place to do a talk at.
Yeah, I like that community out there, South Gulf Cove. That's nice. They get the, it's a nice, not overdone community center. You don't walk in and feel like you're in the Taj Mahal. You feel like you're in a neighborhood community center.
An actual true community.
Yeah, I mean, it's like where you would want to go with your friends and stuff and cook barbecue and hang out and have a good time.
Right, absolutely. It's very true. Definitely gives it that neighborhood feeling.
Yeah, I was kind of impressed because they've got some really, like, wow homes going up in there.
Right.
And usually once you get those bigger houses and all that, it becomes a little more hoity-toity, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the big house people and the little house people are all kind of there together and just really enjoying the neighborhood.
Right. It's pretty cool.
So, West Wall.
Lots of snook. I mean, the snook are moving up and down, well, mostly down the west wall. They're up against the bushes, they're in the creeks, and they are out on the flats themselves.
You know, it's kind of funny, FWC, you know they're not using any science behind their closures and all that kind of stuff. You know it's just a knee-jerk gut reaction. Oh my God, people are being mean to me on Facebook, so I'm just going to do something.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that makes any sense, because we're having, like, the best snook fishing ever. I mean, ever. And you know, they're closing snook because we don't have any.
Right.
So, how do we call the horse hockey card on? You know, I can see the trout. I'm all on board with the trout because for 5 years, the trout population has been declining every year.
At least 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking
when
about this for years.
When they opened up year-round, we pretty much called that one.
You know, and, you know, it doesn't make any sense, you know, but you can tell it's social media pressure. Oh, I don't want to be called a bad person. Well, I'm calling you a bad person. I'm calling you a wimp.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you should bow to social media pressure and group pressure. I mean, stand up and do what's right, not what's popular.
Right.
That's where you're a real person. That's when you're a hero, is if you can do the right thing in, even in spite of drastic pressures from, like, all of the media, and, oh my God, bleeding hearts and all this. There's a right and wrong. And with the redfish, I'm on the fence. I don't really know. That's a possibility. I'm not sure what good it would do, but I'm not sure. It may help, it may not. The redfish, I'm 50-50 with. The trout, I'm all in on. The snook was really stupid.
Yeah.
You know, that's bowing to, you know, social media pressure. You got to do something, you got to do something. And you're not smart enough or intelligent or creative enough to do anything else. So, okay, we'll close it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Westwall.
All those snook are moving south. They're out right under the bushes, out on the flats. There's also been some pumping them out on top of the flats. A lot of single and double tarpon, if you're willing to be very patient. A handful of cobia and a handful of assorted sizes of sharks. That whole west wall is pretty active. You know, it's not gangbusters, but it's a very steady, consistent spot.
Okay. You know, I actually started watching a couple of fishing shows lately.
You okay?
Well, just kind of get an idea of what's going on around, you know, because you can't learn anything from them.
No.
It's all, oh, boy, look at me, I caught a fish. Oh, boy, look at me, I caught a fish. Oh, that's a whopper, that's a monster. I'm looking, really? But I try and, I want some new techniques, but learning about some different places and what happens and when it's going on there. And it's been kind of interesting. I find the show is rather redundant and freaking boring, but I'm just looking at different techniques, seeing if there's anything out there I'm unaware of, you know, see if somebody's come up with something I don't know about.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of like study time, homework.
Yeah, I can understand that. That's what I usually do when I watch them.
But I haven't found one I really liked yet. I haven't found one that's really interesting yet.
Nah, I like Carter Andrews.
What's that one?
Oh, shoot. I can't remember the name of it, but Carter Andrews, it's he's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like watching his show. They do it on the Discovery Channel.
Cool. I've seen a few of them. I haven't found one that I really...
There's another guy out of the Keys, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Big, muscular, meathead guy, but his show's not too bad.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'll keep an eye out. See. Maybe we have it. Maybe I'll run into him. Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay.
Let's see. All on Cape Hayes, you've got ladyfish, Spanish mackerel, bluefish, assorted sharks. There's been some pompano being caught down there. Moving over closer towards the bushes in Muddy Bay, you've got snook. Lots of snook. Couple of redfish in there. There was some small trout, but the guy didn't stick around long enough because he said they were just too small to even mess with. What else am I missing there? There has been a handful of straggler tarpon moving across Cape Hayes. People are seeing them, but not hooking them. So I think those fish are on the move. I've never caught a tarpon on Cape Hayes. I've seen them cruise across it, but never hooked one there.
I've actually caught several.
Yeah. I've seen them hooked out there. I've just never caught one of those fish there.
Hmm.
They're usually boogieing.
Yeah, I don't know. I used to go to Cape Hayes to catch tarpon and get them, ambush them when they're coming around, you know, coming off the west wall or going to go up the west wall.
It's a good, it's a, looks like an awesome spot for them.
Bow Bay, Turtle Bay?
Whole lot of snook. There's snook moving all over the place, and there's some really big fish back in the back. By the shacks, or the shack in Turtle Bay, and then all the way in the back by in Bull Bay where some of those houseboats are at, and also going out the back entrance over towards Cattle Dock. And then there's a ladyfish, a few small trout, and a lot of small sharks mixed in there. It's and there's a lot of life going on in there, a lot of little glass minnows.
Hey there.
A lot of little white bait, whole nine yards.
Okie dokie. And we're back. We were talking about Bull Bay and Turtle Bay and stuff like that. Got interrupted. And, you know, if you ever want to try and do something, trying to bring outside contractors and people who are supposed to be good at their jobs is just a dumb idea.
Sometimes, yes.
Basically, if you want it done, figure out, you know, and you want to do something, figure out a way of doing it yourself. Otherwise, it's just more headache than it's worth.
Yeah.
Just giving you an idea. I won't go into details, but, you know, then I'm having a just not good day. And, I mean, like, why do people always want to say the wrong thing to me right off the get-go? You know, when you're having a really bad day, and then to be, they come in and they're ultra predictable, you know. Well, what can't we do? Okay, you know, you're right, it's really slow, this is a really bad time, don't, you know, I mean, yeah. So anyway, happy up, Frank. All right, happy Cape Hayes Reef and Danger Reef.
Lots of Spanish mackerel all over them. A couple guys even got some pompano off at Danger Reef the other day. And then there's a lot of little sharks all around it, along with a couple of big sharks. One of our regulars, he hooked into about an 8-foot bull shark there, but he's been catching some small black nose and Atlantic sharp nose. And then last Monday, I hooked into several small black noses and one nice-sized black tip.
Okay. And Gasparilla Sound.
It's pretty amazing, actually, throughout that whole area. You've got tarpon cruising up and down just on the outside, kind of closer towards that 7-8 feet of water. You've got snook, some redfish, lots of ladyfish all on the bushes and out on those grass flats from Devilfish all the way up to Catfish Creek. An assortment of sharks. I've heard of a couple of cobia being seen over there. The water is super, super clear, so guys are just seeing a lot of life and activity over there. And a cool thing from one of the customers the other day, he was over there actually wade fishing, looking for some mullet to cast net to go smoke and have a little fish fry with his family. And he said the amount of tiny, tiny pinfish, like nickel size and smaller, all over that grass flat is nice to see, because he said it hasn't been there for months. So he said that was a real pleasant thing to see.
Well, and people tend to forget that we now know that pinfish are a Gulf species. They're not a harbor species. They don't live in Charlotte Harbor. They live in the Gulf of Mexico. And so as they get bigger, they migrate out into the Gulf. And so for part of the year, they're just not here. They seem to get big enough. They spawn. There's babies all over the flats, there's a gazillion fish, and then they migrate and head out into the Gulf of Mexico. And so part of the year they're just not going to be here because they're still hatching out and they're itty bitty tiny, and then they get about 6 months of when they grow here, and then they're gone for months.
Right.
That's why you don't have people who have tried to make a living selling pinfish, because they go out and they catch a bunch of them, they go, wow, this is easy, I can sell these and make a ton of money. And then they're gone for, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 months out of the year. We just don't have any here. And, you know.
Nope. It makes a whole lot of sense.
All right. Placida Trestle, Little Gasparilla Pass.
The trestle itself, they've been getting some pompano off of it, some Spanish mackerel, bluefish, a few small sharks. And then the nighttime fishing, they've been getting quite a few snook and some tarpon, mostly juvenile tarpon. But if you're fishing underneath the bridges there from a boat, they've been getting some pretty sizable tarpon there at night. Not a whole lot of activity during the day on them, but been some good fish underneath the Causeway Bridge and the next two down.
All right, Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay, a lot of guys are starting to see some tarpon cruising up and down in the shallows, just on the outside edges of the bars. Snook are moving all over the place on the flats, up under the docks. They have been getting a few Spanish mackerel and a few ladyfish out in the middle of the channel. And that's about it. Until you move out to Stump Pass.
All right.
But we're going to include that with the passes, yep. Aren't we? Oh, we are including that one right here?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. The Stump Pass, there's been some nice jacks. Snook are starting to move out through the pass there. Some whiting. Been a bunch of lizard fish, some blue runners, and some decent Spanish mackerel cruising in and out of there fairly regularly, chasing a lot of that bait fish that's throughout that whole beach system. And then there also has been a few straggler tarpon also coming and going through there too, so don't be surprised if one of those hits your bait or your lure while you're plugging away for something smaller. And been typical big tarpon.
Okay, the Tom Adams Bridge Pier, the Anger Pier.
The Anger Pier's got some Spanish mackerel off of it, some bluefish, a few jacks have been being caught lately. Ladyfish, a couple of trout, a couple of pompano. There has been a handful of mangrove snapper, but that seems to be like a late night, early morning bite. And then the snook and the juvenile tarpon, of course, are doing fairly well at night there. There has been a couple of guys fishing for small black tips and bonnet heads there at night. But marginal success, I would say. Hasn't been anything consistent yet.
All right, Venice Jetties.
Still good reports of pompano. It's not as on fire as it was, but still some pretty good reports of the pompano, Spanish mackerel, a few snookers starting to move out there. One guy got about a 35-inch redfish off the rocks there, fishing on the bottom with just a chunk of ladyfish.
Fishing. What did he catch?
35-inch redfish.
Wow.
Yeah. He was just fishing for whatever. He was hoping for a shark or whatever, but he ended up getting that, which I take that. That's a pleasant, very pleasant bycatch. The sheep's head are still there a little bit, but they are thinning out big time, so they're just more of a bycatch here and there.
Okay. And going down to the Gulf of Mexico.
It was pretty windy last week, so I only got a couple reports from yesterday. The 7 to 15 miles out, still some lane snapper, porgies, a few grunts, but they've been seeing some cobia, barracuda, lots of Spanish mackerel, and there has been a few permit out there on some of the different little reefs. And then if you get out there to 25 miles, that was as far as the one guy went, he got into a bunch of nice yellowtail and a couple of decent sized mangrove snapper, and he managed to catch one 23-inch red grouper. He said it was a little on the bumpy side. He said it wasn't horrible, but he didn't feel like going out to his 35 mile spot and just taking the extra whooping or going extra slow. But there's definitely a lot of life out there. The bait fish that are out there is amazing. Pretty impressive to see.
Okay. And Booker and Pass.
Tarpon. Lots of tarpon. Quite a few sharks. And then there has been some Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, and some blue runners feeding on all the fry that's flowing in and out of there on the tide change. When that tide starts to just barely go slack, all that fry sits up on the surface, and Spanish macks just start going nuts. The jack, little jacks, and blue runners. You know, it's pretty cool. You know, I was out there on Monday watching all that.
Okay, Captiva Pass.
Been some nice tarpon down there. Snook are starting to move through there. Been a few pompano just on the front beach side. And then just on the inside, lots of Spanish mackerel. And a few small sharks. It's been pretty good down there. It's a mirror image, basically, of Boca, just a little on the slower side, both with
anything
anglers.
Anything redfish?
I have not heard of anything down there.
Okay. 17th Street, Middle Beach.
Just some shark fishermen fishing, land-based shark fishermen fishing at night. And catching a couple bulls, a couple lemons, two big hammers that I've heard of in the past 10 days off of there. Basically any one of those side streets. According to one of them, there was basically a angler at every one of those side streets last weekend.
Isn't all that going to change here real quick?
Yeah. July 1st, they're supposed to propose some kind of shark class / permit required for beach shark fishermen.
Okay.
We'll see how Sanibel? That works. Sanibel's been doing real good right there off the causeway. A lot of tarpon, quite a few snook. Some of the land-based guys have been catching a few Spanish mackerel, a couple of pompano, a couple of whiting, and small mangrove snapper. And then on the beach side of Sanibel, they've been getting some pretty big sharks along with some nice tarpon. Just right off the beach there within a quarter mile.
Okay. Coosatchee?
Coosatchee North, going upriver from the Cape Coral Causeway.
Mm-hmm.
Been some Spanish mackerel through there. And the guy also got into some snook fishing along the shoreline and the bridge embankment as he went back home, wherever that was. He's from Cape Coral area, but he fishes around the causeway area and the little islands and shorelines.
Okay.
First report ever from there.
Yeah, what's weird is a bunch of people from Cape Coral coming up here for different stuff. Anything Cape Coral?
Just bass fishermen. A lot of bass guys coming up, picking up shiners to head back down and then buying an assortment of soft plastics. They can't make up their mind which color they want or what lure they want. It's funny. I've got that, but I need something different. It all seems to be working, but I still want to try something different.
Okay.
That's a lot of shiners,
okay.
Though.
Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey, they've got some snook. Handful of redfish and a handful of pompano being caught right there off the causeway or off the bridge itself, and then down working your way towards Smokehouse Bay, all that area, they've been getting a few tarpon, an assortment of small sharks, and a lot of snook. Snook have been the primary thing everyone's talking about down there.
Okay. Pine Island Sound.
Lots and lots of tarpon. The tarpon are cruising in singles and doubles. You know, you're able to sight cast to them. It's kind of a fly fisherman's dream right now. A lot of an assortment of sharks, both small and fairly large. Spanish mackerel. And then the snook, of course, are up along the main shoreline and all the little islands. Even been a few bigger snook being caught right there around Patricio and Yuseppa. And those guys are catching those uncut bait.
Okay. That's trying to figure out why it's still coming up with red lines that I spelled incorrectly. That can be challenging the way I typed them today. All right, Jug Creek Shoals.
A lot of bait fish around there, but the biggest thing is there's been some Spanish mackerel starting to hang around out there in that 6 to 7 feet of water, along with a few small sharks. A couple guys got into some fairly decent sized bonnet heads there the other day. They didn't find any bait, so they just decided to post up and start fishing and got, I think he said 4 bonnet heads, but one of them was pretty good size. It was just over 3 foot looking at it from comparing it to him standing in front of me.
Okay, Burnt Store Two Pines.
There's been tarpon there throughout the day, off and on. A lot of snook moving along the shoreline. And then there has been an occasional pompano and an occasional cobia. And those are all boat fishermen. I haven't heard of anybody wade fishing down there lately.
Okay, east side of the harbor?
A lot of snook moving around those islands. It doesn't matter where you're at. There's snook back, or along their perimeter and even up on top of the bar. And then there's been a few straggler tarpon here and there, along with a couple of cobia, a few Spanish mackerel and pompano on the outside of the bar. I haven't heard of any redfish or trout over there at all. Like, nothing.
Alligator Creek?
Big jacks. Lots of snook moving throughout there. Been some black drum. A guy did skip a bunch of pompano when he was coming out, but he couldn't get into him. He sat there for a half hour trying to find him, but never hooked any. But he at least saw several.
Okay, let's see, Ponce de Leon Park.
Ponce de Leon was just some jacks and a few big snook. I haven't heard of anything else there, to be honest.
Brent, guy I met over at the Englewood show that we did, the festival there, the little Rotary Club festival / boat show community event.
Oh, yeah, the younger guy.
Yeah, Brent, he was down there.
He was real nice.
Yeah, you got a big black, not a big black drum, it's probably 20 inches, nice black drum down there. Sent me a picture of it.
Nice.
Up there.
He was a nice guy.
Yeah, he was a real nice fellow. PGI canals?
A lot of snook, quite a few juvenile tarpon. Still some very large jacks cruising throughout there. And some mixed reports of some mangrove snapper. And then some very mixed reports on very large black drum, like 30 to 40 pounders. Guys are, for some reason, telling me that they're having to resuscitate the black drum for a lot longer than they had been the last couple of weeks. I know the water temperature is up there now, 78, 80 degrees. But kind of strange when you have two different guys talk about having to resuscitate them for a little longer than they thought. Always piques your interest a little bit, you know.
Well, this is the time of year, and people don't realize it, but if we get right before a storm and stuff like that, the water's warm enough where it's not going to hold a tremendous amount of oxygen. And if the wind quits entirely for a little while, it can really rob the water of oxygen really quickly, and you can have very low oxygen levels just because the wind died for an hour.
Yeah, I could see
before
that.
Rain. It doesn't take as long as people think it does to run out of air in some of these, or to lower the oxygen levels.
Yeah, I can see that. That makes sense.
And thank you, Janine, for all the pictures. Or Jeannie. Or Janine. I don't know. J-E-A-N-N-E. And Colin sent us some pictures. Thank you. Gilcrest Pier.
Gilcrest Pier, just a couple of small sharks, and one guy caught a short cobia off of there. He said it was pretty quiet overall, though.
Alright, Alligator Creek Reef.
Just a few Spanish mackerel and a couple of small sharks. Other than that, it's been real quiet there.
Yeah, I don't know what goes on with the reefs when they, some years they're real, real hot, and then other years it's like nothing.
Yeah, and this happens to be one of those.
Yeah.
It's been one of the more bizarre years for the bridge, or the bridge reef, I should say.
Deep holes in the harbor?
A few tarpon, fishable numbers of tarpon. There has been some small sharks out there, and a few straggler Spanish mackerel. Better off just slow trolling around for them as you're heading towards Cape Hayes, and just catching those is fun bycatch, but they're not super consistent numbers.
Alright, freshwater fishing.
Bass. I mean, that's all we keep hearing about is the bass fishing. Northport Canals, Port Charlotte Canals, Inglewood, you know, Cape Coral. You know, guys are even taking some of these shiners and fishing some of their neighbors' ponds out there in Arcadia. and doing pretty well, you know, but a lot of guys buying shiners. I haven't heard much on the bluegill bite or anything else, but a few Mayan cichlids in some of the areas, but overall, it's all about the bass right now, and they're all like that 2 to 4 pound with the occasional 5 to 6 pounder, but fun size, you know. And they're buying all sorts of artificials too to mix it up.
Yeah, it's kind of what I'm writing now.
It doesn't matter what color it is or what model it is. They're just, they're trying everything because it seems to be working.
Yeah, that's, I would say the strangest thing is that it's just not, the strangest thing is how there's no consistency in what they're going after.
Yeah.
I mean, not that, or what they're going to use. They're all going after bass, but right. It's crazy how many different lures and different things that's just unbelievable variant in what the people are taking for, you know, bass fishing.
Yeah.
From little tiny baits to monster baits to whatever. It's just
spinner bait to a frog to a spider jig to, I mean, it's all over the map.
Yeah, I really, I don't know where it's going. But anyway, doing the tarpon map.
Mm-hmm.
A little sporadic here. I'm trying to keep everything together. All right, red dots, best bet.
Boker Grand Pass.
Captiva?
Captiva Pass.
Ponarasa?
Yeah, I would say Ponarasa all the way up. You know, there's a lot of singles, doubles, and triples. As long as you're willing to be patient, there's a lot of fish coming through that whole area from Ponarasa all the way up to Boca.
All right. Deep holes?
Deep holes, yes.
Red dots?
Red dots. And then over down between Burnt Store and Matt Lachey. Basically the Two Pines area.
Yeah.
And then I would say, what's the next one? It's a 50-50, right?
Yep.
The beaches from...
How far north? Stump Pass?
Yeah.
All the way down to Boca?
All the way down to Captiva. Seems okay. Like those fish are staying on the inside more than they are on the outside.
Anything down off Naps or anywhere?
Naps, I'd say we could probably put a red dot on that one because that's been pretty steady the last several days.
Okay. Cape Coral bridges, I-75 and the Clusanchee?
Yeah, Cape Coral and Sanibel. Those have been more nighttime, but a few during the daytime.
All right. 41, I-75, Placida, Algebeen.
41 would be probably a 50-50, maybe.
Okay.
I haven't heard much up at Placida except for that nighttime bite.
All right, where's nighttime going on?
Placida, Algebeen a little bit, and 41 off and on.
75,
and then
Cape Coral.
Cape
stuff.
Coral, yeah.
Matt Lachey nighttime?
No, I haven't heard those. Those okay. Have been juveniles, just hodgepodge.
Tom Adams Bridge?
Yes.
Alright. Okay. I guess that'll do it for that.
Okay.
Alright. 5, 4, 19. Alright, got that done. Gonna insert it. So, what do you want to wrap up with?
Geez, I mean, where do you start? I mean, if you want, I mean, I'm gonna go on Monday with Carl and try to catch a big shark. Just because it's that time of year. I just want one. I'll be happy with one. But the big sharks are out there. The tarpon are out there. Been getting some mixed reports of cobia here and there. It's just so sporadic. It's like the guys that are shark fishing are having a cobia swim up on them. I mean, where do you want to start? You know, you want to go chase snook and sight cast them, or you want to go chase tarpon.
All right, where would you go to sight cast snook?
Honestly, down there on the southern part of the west wall.
Yeah, I was going to say around Cape Hayes over to probably out in front of Bull and Turtle Bay, right along the outside bar.
Yeah, yeah. And then even up the west wall towards, what's that, Blowdown Creek?
Yeah, the Gravel Creek, Blowdown Creek.
Yeah, that whole stretch is so beautiful and easy to see.
Okay.
Man, it's amazing out there right now. We went over, when I was out there with Carl, you could actually see the shadow. He said he could see the bottom, but I could see the shadow of the Cape Hayes Reef. It was kind of cool.
Gotcha. Just trying to remember to load everything. I looked, and I never loaded the last tarpon map we did.
Whoops.
Whoops.
The twofer.
Yeah, it's like...
Hey, what a treat.
You know, you try and remember, but I put everything together, and I can see it on my computer, and it all looks right, and it all seems right, but that doesn't mean I actually finish loading it. And everybody's told me about all this stuff, but... because I've had so many bad links and everything else trying to get it all fixed, and then with the podcast not going up, and it's funny, we can be consistent as hell for a year, and then we miss one or two, and yeah, it's so, but I'm doing the best we can. So anyway, on a very strange day, lots of stuff going on. I'm going to have to take the wife to the doctor today. My dad's in the hospital. Mom's doing okay. And I'm actually feeling a little better. Are you okay, Robert?
I'm not too bad.
All right. So
I don't look good. I have a face for radio, but overall I feel all right.
Yeah, it's just, God, what a day. All right, boys and girls, I'm going to get this loaded. And thank you guys for listening. Sorry I'm so grouchy today. We will catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye.
Bye.